This is M Street, a weekly podcast of Mercy Street Reformed Church in Denver, Colorado. If you live in the Denver area and would like to know more about us, like when we hold our weekly Bible studies or our services, visit mercystreetreformed.org. That's mercystreetreformed.org. Hello again, this is Pastor Chris Moulton, and for those of you who have listened to previous episodes of M Street, welcome back. For those of you who may be listening for the first time, thank you for tuning in, and I do hope that you're blessed in doing so. Well, so the other night, my wife and I watched the game show Deal or No Deal, and if you're not familiar with that particular program, then let me make it as simple as I can and just say that the basic premise is the same as just about every other game show, which is win the biggest prize you can without getting skunked. But so the contestant on the night in which we watched kept talking about how much he believed that he was going to win. At one point, he even got the entire audience chanting the word believe, believe, believe over and over again, as though, as long as he and maybe even the audience believed well enough, believed strongly enough, maybe even believed long enough, well, he was then going to walk away with a big prize. So guess what? In the end, he walked away with a whopping $5. So all that believing didn't quite work the way that he and everyone else was hoping it would. But then understand this, that's really all it was. It was hoping, it was wishing that in the end the big prize would be won. Not really anything more than that, certainly not faith. Unfortunately, we often confuse hope or our wishing that something would be true with faith in what actually is. And that's true not just when it comes to game shows, but in many other areas of life as well. You see, true faith is always grounded on something outside of one's self and not on something that we simply want to be. We all have certain thoughts and ideas about things, things that we wish were true, or at least were true for ourselves. For instance, I might wish that I could fly, or I might wish that I could ski like Candide Thauvex, which is sort of the same thing. And in fact, I might even believe that one day, if everything just worked out right, that I would actually be able to fly and or ski like that crazy Frenchman. But then, even if I could, it's still not faith, it's still not true faith that I have. Instead, it would just be something that I longed for, which may or may not come to pass. True faith, on the other hand, has for its foundation, its substance, that which is true, whether we believe it or not. And when it comes to true saving faith, even the kind that saves our soul from hell, that foundation, that substance, is the gospel of God as it's revealed to us in God's Word, the Bible. Last time, we heard about why it is that not everyone born of the first Adam, and therefore wretched sinners, are saved from their sin by Jesus Christ. The reason why everyone isn't saved from their sin is because only those who possess true faith are engrafted into Christ and receive all his benefits. And for more on that subject, you could listen to last week's episode. But so that then raises another question: what is true faith? If only those who possess it are ultimately saved from the wrath of God that their sins deserve, which is huge, then what is it? And how does a person obtain it? What's the answer to that same question, particularly what is true faith, that the Heidelberg Catechism looks at next, and for that reason, and because it logically fits with the order of things, we'll do the same. Well, so in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, we read, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." In other words, even if no mere human being were ever to believe, were ever to trust that what God reveals to us in his word were true, it would still be true anyway, regardless of what everyone else thinks about it. And so that's the foundation, that's the substance that I was speaking about a few minutes ago. God's word, the Bible, is outside of us. It's not something that we dream up on our own. Instead, it's the most solid, the most reliable reality that there is, period. Of course, there always has been, and there always will be, those who mock God's word, who say and believe that Christians are the ones who are dreaming, as in dreaming that the Bible is actually God's revealed word of truth to mankind. But again, that doesn't change the reality of what it actually is, God's very word, his inerrant, infallible revelation to mankind. Now, what does God reveal to us in that word? Well, he reveals how creation began and how we all got here. He reveals how our first parents fell from their original estate of sinlessness and how not only themselves, but all of their offspring then became sinners deserving of death. He reveals how that even very early on in history, God promised a way of deliverance from sin by means of his providing a perfect Savior would one day come and destroy sin and death. Along those same lines, it reveals to us just who that Savior is, Jesus Christ, and what is necessary for him to be our Savior, who thus forgives our sins personally. Those and other vital truths like them are all revealed to us in God's holy word, the Bible. And in all that's revealed to us there, we can rest assured that it is 100% true now and always. Well, so true faith then, as the Catechism puts it, holds for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word. And we might say that that's the outside part of saving faith, since again, it's what's outside of us. It's not dreamed up by us, neither is it something that we just hope for because it sounds like something we'd like to have. Instead, it comes to us from God himself. Well, then, that's what's outside of us when it comes to true faith, and this is what's inside of us, a sure knowledge and a hearty trust or an assured confidence in all that the Word of God reveals. To truly believe something means that we first have to know something about it. For example, it would be silly for me to say that I believed in the third law of thermodynamics if I had no idea what it was. More realistically, perhaps, to say that I believe in the government of Liechtenstein's national policy on growing rice. I don't even know if they have such a policy, so it would be silly for me to say I believe it. Well, then, same thing when it comes to God's word. If I said that I believed it, but had never read it, had never had it read to me, had never had it explained, well, then I would be professing to believe something that I knew nothing about, all of which makes no sense. For that reason, true faith isn't that, but instead, it's a sure knowledge of what God's word reveals. Now, it may not be an exhaustive knowledge. In fact, in the life of any true believer, his or her faith will continue to be ever increasing in the knowledge of the Bible as they sit under its preaching. But it is still a faith that rests upon what it knows to be true, as it's been revealed in God's word. At the same time, truth is also a hearty or a confident trust in what we know concerning God's revelation to us. So for instance, when it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or when it says that there is none righteous, no, not one, the person who possesses true faith doesn't doubt those things, especially in how it relates to them personally, but instead they heartily agree with it. They read God's law. They know what it requires of them, personal, perpetual, and perfect obedience. And they also then know themselves to be violators of that law, and therefore sinners, deserving of God's wrath. But then along with that, the true believer has a hearty trust in the fact that those who repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And so with the knowledge of both of those biblical realities they possess, are therefore saved by or through that instrument of true faith in the gospel of God. It isn't wishful thinking. It isn't something based on any mere human being could come up with, but instead it rests on the word of God. And it's a sure knowledge, a hearty trust that resides inside a person's heart of hearts, which is another way of saying in the core of their being. Okay, but so that's what true faith rests upon. That's also what it is. But then, where does it come from? In other words, is true saving faith something that you or I can just figure out on our own, sort of like we do with math or the skill of painting or something like that? Or instead, does true faith, like God's word, have another source outside of ourselves, even a divine source? Let me answer that question in this way, using what we just went over. trusting heartily in God's word, we come to know that a person, any person, is saved not by their own strength, but by grace through faith. And listen, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, as it says in Ephesians 2:8. In other words, neither our being saved nor the true faith that we come to possess so that we can have a sure knowledge and a hearty trust is something that we come up with on our own, but instead it's all from beginning to end a work of God's grace that he works in us by his Holy Spirit. Besides Ephesians 2, we could turn to John 3, where Jesus said that unless a person is born again, as in born again from above, born again of God, that he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. After which Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Of course, we're all naturally born of the flesh from our first parents, but what we then need is to be born again, a second time, in a spiritual sense, so that we can then know and trust God's word. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit that enlightens our minds to that truth as he makes us new creatures in Jesus Christ, all of which comes then from a divine source, again, outside of ourselves. I like how George Bethune put it when he wrote that sin has so disordered and impaired our moral faculties so as to render us incapable of understanding or relishing the truth of the divine word, and so our hearts are at enmity against God. Therefore, there must be a regeneration or recreating of our natures, an enlightening of the eyes of our understanding, so that we may then know and prove the good and acceptable will of God as it's revealed to us in his word. That's what I need. That's what you need. That's what each and every sinner ever born into this world needs, the work of the Holy Spirit recreating us, so that we can then and only then be able to not only possess but also walk by, live by faith in the gospel of God. I'll close this week's episode with one more George Bethune quote, one that nicely sums up what we just went over. All dreams or visions or supernatural intimations of any kind, all impressions, sentiments, or impulses of our own, all dictates of public opinion, ecclesiastical decrees, or traditions of men are unworthy of trust. They are not the instruments by which the Holy Spirit works. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God alone. We believe God and his testimony. We need no more. We will take no less. And until next time, may the mercy that God bestows on sinners like myself be yours. This has been M Street, a weekly podcast of Mercy Street Reformed Church in Denver, Colorado. To find out more about us or more about the RCUS, visit mercystreetreformed.org. That's mercystreetreformed.org.